Knicks one in the early right. This has a real chance. It will go! Back-to-back home runs. That ball did get over the wall. Despite stopping at second, Ramon can round the bases. And O'Hurt demolishes this ball. Right field. It's gone! One more for the memories. Another breaking ball. This one hit a long way by Sanchez to center. Mullins!
No, he didn't.
No, you cannot be serious. No! No way!
No way! He didn't catch that! Yes!
I want to see the baseball!
That's Kevin Brown and Ben McDonald yesterday on Masson going full on John McEnroe. You cannot be serious. Talking about Cedric Mullins, that Spider-Man leap into the right center field wall to steal a home run from Sanchez. And at the time, preserve the Orioles' lead against the Toronto Blue Jays. Cedric Mullins also doubled. Made it strike out with the guy on third, base loaded, and less than two outs. But we're not really going to sit here and criticize why we're going here. And we heard Ryan O'Hearn, that missile he hit yesterday off of Barrios while we were on the air, gave the Orioles an early 3-0 lead. And then Ramon Urias, homer twice just a couple of days ago for the Baltimore Orioles. Urias, he's gone to the Houston Astros. We'll get into the compensation here in a minute. Overnight, Andrew Kittredge was traded to the Chicago Cubs for a young infielder. I mean, young, like 17 years old. You have baseball gloves older than this guy. And then we also heard from O'Hearn and Cedric Mullins, because the anticipation is today that they will be dealt away from the Baltimore Orioles to teams unknown. The Reds appear to be percolating in regards to Cedric Mullins. The Astros, among others, have been looking maybe at Ryan O'Hearn, who brings positional versatility, play both corner outfield spots, first base, bring some left-handed pop to the equation, obviously could DH for you. So it's a trade deadline. Now, O'Hearn and Mullins are not gone yet. Neither are Eplin or Morton or Sagano or any others. But Nolan McGraw, will start with you because we were talking about it before the show. The Kittredge trade, you're not cool with that for some reason.
Well, it didn't have to happen, and I think that's kind of the point here. Most of the moves that we've seen so far have not really been the obvious ones, right? There's no Mullins, no O'Hearn, no Charlie Morton. Any of the expiring deals, guys that you have been talking about for months at this point, that could have been traded. And Kittredge, look, we know the story. He had team control, a club option for next year at $9 million. And maybe they were a little spooked by his injury earlier this year. Maybe they don't feel quite comfortable in that. But I think just based on the return, 17-year-old shortstop coming back, even if that kid, and he was the top 20 in the Cubs system, mm-hmm. obviously, I'm not breaking news here, he's not going to help the 2026 Orioles.
Really?
So the only way he's going to have any impact on next year's team, like an Andrew Kittredge would have, is if Mike Elias turns around, packages Wilfried De La Cruz to go get some sort of starting pitcher or whoever. If he's immediately turned around and flipped, then my opinion changes. That's really the only issue I have with it. You're giving away somebody that could have, and in my opinion, really would have helped the bullpen next year when you've already subtracted multiple names from your bullpen already. That's really my only hang-up. So I guess the jury's still out. But for now, not over the moon about it.
Yeah, and the Andrew Kittredge era in Baltimore was not a glorious one. As you said, he missed the first month or plus of the season with a knee injury. And who knows, this De La Cruz kid could turn out to be the next Ozzie Smith. We don't know. But what Andrew Kittredge does, he gains a few games in the standings. He goes from a team that's in last place to a team that's battling for first place in the NL Central with the Milwaukee Brewers, and gets himself right into a playoff spot. Now, for the Astros, they get Ramon Urias and another guy that's under contract for next year. Twine Palmer, 20-year-old right-hander, put up big numbers in double or single A. He comes in return, drafted last year by the Houston Ball Club. And again, I mean, I don't know this guy. And I don't know what the, I guess there's upside. Mike Elias knows more than we do, for sure. But Ramon Urias, a valuable utility piece. But Nolan, utility piece. Because it's Jackson Holiday, Gunnar Henderson, Jordan Westberg for the foreseeable future. Ramon Urias, though, he's one of these guys that's good to have around. He's Patrick McCary, if you will, for the Orioles infield. Could literally play all four spots, and he's not a massive human being. Got a little more pop, and he's a Gold Glove winner, too. And he fills a need that Houston has right now at third base.
Yeah, then getting anything for him, he's kind of like Ramon Laureano for me. Although Laureano, much more attractive because of his offense this year, but nothing against Arias because he's pretty capable with his bat as well. So I just think it's an opportunity to sell high on a utility player, which both of those guys are. And I don't have a problem with that one, even though it is another young player that's not going to immediately ascend and help you. But anytime the Orioles are acquiring pitching, prospects, that is, I think it's something to celebrate just with how depleted they were in that department and their system.
Now, explain to me, we heard Cedric Mullins, that brilliant catch he made yesterday against Toronto. And then he made the glove side catch over the weekend. And he's made brilliant plays. The Seattle game of 23 will always be memorable for me, where he made the leapy catch over the wall that saved the game. Then Bauman gave up a home run. And that said, hit the game-winning homer for the Orioles in that one. And that was one of the best games of that 2023 season. But as Tony Manzalino said a couple of days ago, we get the zone ratings and arm strength, and that is an issue because runners take extra bases against you. But Nolan, explain to me why he's not even a finalist for Gold Glove. Scrubs don't make plays like that. Well, sorry. Yeah.
The Gold Glove is maybe one of the most head-scratching awards in not just baseball.
Managers used to vote for it based on what eye test stuff.
Well, maybe we need to get back to that. Yeah. I mean, a balance is fine between stats and eye test, but when you've got, you know, forget Cedric getting snubbed, when you've got guys like Juan Soto getting, you know, in the running for Gold Glove, you know, it devalues the award. I mean, back in the day, didn't Rafael Palmeiro win one when he was a DH for a majority of the year? Yeah. I mean, stuff like that.
Weak year for first baseman.
It makes a mockery out of the award. So that's a whole different thing. But those that watch Cedric Mullins know how good of a defensive player he is. And it's robbing home runs. He's had three web gems in the last week. So I think that says it all. And those are just three of a countless amount in his career. I mean, he might be one of the most... We've seen a lot of great defensive players here in Baltimore, but in terms of the dazzling play, like laying out, diving, climbing the wall,
no doubt,
crazy stuff like that, he might be towards the top of the list for me.
If this is the swan song for Cedric Mullins, how do we remember him as an Oriole? I mean, only player in Oriole history with 30-30 season. All-star, many spectacular moments like we saw yesterday. Unfortunately, the Orioles lose. Could have swept that series. They were up 3-0, 5-3. Dean Kramer, it's two starts in a row where he was handed a multi-run lead, and the Orioles couldn't get the win. Cano was brutal yesterday. But, I mean, I'm guessing Cedric Mullins, when it's all said and done, 5 years after his playing career comes to an end, hey, welcome to the Oriole Hall of Fame.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it. I mean, that's a core guy. Survived the rough years. Got to enjoy some winning, which is great. Kind of like an Austin Hayes. But I'll remember him for the defense. For yesterday, that play is a perfect encapsulation of Cedric Mullins' time with the Orioles, no doubt about it. The dazzling plays and the fact that they would come at any moment. You know, it could come in a tie game in the 12th inning, or it could come in a blowout in the middle of April. It doesn't matter. He played the same way in every single game. His motor was nonstop. It didn't matter the situation. Full effort every single time he took the field.
I think it's a guy that eventually management and managers or whatever can talk about guys that have adversity at that time. And you go back and you look at what Cedric Mullins done, got sent back down to Double-A and then came back up and did.
Told him to stop switch hitting.
Yeah. So, I mean, that dude overcame more adversity. So I think that is the thing that I remember is, you know, got sent down, didn't give up, fought back, and then look what he's done. I think it's a great story.
6 o'clock tonight, trade deadline. Until he's gone, and we were still assuming he's gone. Now, if he's around after today at 6. Then we're like, well, okay, what's the end game for Mike Elias? And for Ryan O'Hearn, finally, he homers yesterday, a shot, big-time blast off Barrios, gave the Orioles the early advantage. They got him off waivers from Kansas City. Remember, 2023, he didn't even make the team coming out of spring training. And then he has been one of the most reliable players. He wasn't drafted as an Oriole, but he is an Oriole. And for him, like Ramon Urias and like Andrew Kittredge and probably Cedric Mullins and whoever else goes, they're going from the basement maybe to the penthouse. And Nolan, you're like, well, I'm not really, you know, whatever with O'Hearn. Not dismissing him, but I will tip of the cap for what he brought to the equation. But we talked about it yesterday, Vinny, when you were at a one-winning drive. Basayo's coming up. Mm-hmm. Mountcastle's coming back next week in Philadelphia. You got Mayo. I mean, you got to start looking at next year, and O'Hearn's a free agent. So he's did you a solid. He'll bring some level of value back, and you'll do him a solid by sending him to a contender here.
Right. They don't view him as the future. I think that's pretty clear and evident. Sure. I mean, the fact that he's done what he's done in the past 3 years after coming over here from the Royals is just, at the time when they made that move, nobody really batted an eye. It was with the Levan Soto moves of the world where, oh, this guy's a waiver claim. He'll be gone in a week, maybe back in a couple months, gone again. I mean, just one of those pieces is just filling a roster spot. And then all of a sudden, he's one of the more clutch bats in the lineup for multiple years. So he has exceeded any expectations 1,000 times over. And the fact that he might get you the biggest return of all the moves they make at this deadline, fantastic.
Now, if you want to complain about the trades, get in here at 410-583-1057. But we were talking to Jeremy Kahn from the Big Bad Morning Show during the flip. And Soto sucked when he pitched for the Orioles. Kittredge was, what the hell, man? Dominguez, he was terrible. He looked good yesterday against the Orioles, by the way, again. Now, all of a sudden, we're trading away 3 All-Stars. Arias, I'm more on the Arias because we'll talk to Tony Pente top of the hour. Is there an Arias in the Orioles farm system? Like a guy that could bounce around from second, short, third, that would replace him? Because, again, I think the Orioles are contending next year. And this is going to be an interesting offseason, as we've discussed 1,000 times, for Mike Elias, trading away guys with controllable years. What's his big picture plan coming up here? But with all due respect to Kittredge, I'm not beefing about any of this stuff.
Right, well, Bob, isn't the pressure on Elias? Think he's got to build that bullpen because it's kind of empty.
He got to build. Well, we'll see who can or who cannot pitch over the next 2 months. It won't be Braxton Bragg, by the way, who had Tommy John surgery. But Elias, now you got to fill the rut. We know the core players. They're good core players. We got that. But it's only like 6 or 7 of them.
Right.
I mean, you go against 9. And the other teams have pitchers. So, Mike Elias, your hands are full. And let's see if you're up to the challenge. But in regards to what the compensation has been in return, get a 19th-rated prospect for Soto, a top 10 guy for Dominguez, who's now one of your top 8 guys. I don't know about the 2 dudes last night, but what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
They're in last place now with these players.
Right. No, it's what you can do. What can you immediately turn all of this return that you're getting into? I mean, that's my whole point. You know, a lot of these pieces you're getting are years and years away from being major leaguers. So, I mean, there was a report out there from Nightingale earlier this week that, hey, don't ignore the Orioles potentially buying, as crazy as that sounds, that they could. The report was that they're going to take what they're getting right now and immediately flip it. Not even this offseason, like right now. So it made it sound like that's what they're trying to do. Whether it happens or not remains to be seen, because you're obviously bidding against a lot of other teams. But again, you're the 17-year-old kid's not going to help you for a while. So I think Andrew Kittredge would have been nice to have next year.
And real quick, we got to hit a break. Again, talking to Jeremy before the show. Ed Gore's available. Alcantara, who's been available, or Alcantara, if you will. And why not offer the best package? Mm-hmm. They might not go to, you know, team A, B, or C. But they'll be in my rotation next year. That's going to help the cause. So, Mike Elias, hey, maybe you're onto something, Nolan. His brilliance is beyond what we know.
Well, that's the only way it ends up being.
I don't know how brilliant it is yet.
That's the only way it ends up being viewed favorably. If these were all moves just to acquire more pieces and stock the farm system for years to come, well, what's the point of that? that does nothing. That's just Elias being Elias and bulking up on prospects.
Yeah, Elias being Elias, now we're wondering, is that a good or bad thing?
Right, and if you're Elias and you know you're kind of on the hot seat, I don't know that going and getting a 17-year-old really helps him at all, you know what I mean?
That's kind of looking like that's all he knows how to do, though. I mean, the thing with the draft and everything, like when they traded Baker for the draft pick.
Right.
And the more you thought about that.
Turned out to be Little Slay, by the way.
Right, but the more you thought about that, okay, I'm on board with it. Because if there's one area of Mike Elias's, you know, resume or what he does that I actually trust, it's his drafting ability. So it's hard for me to argue against that, but everything else, very suspect.
All right, get in here. It's Total Request Thursday, 410-583-1057. Trade deadline, 6 o'clock. Everything that happens, obviously, while we're on the air, we'll share it with you. Vinny was out of camp again yesterday. He'll be there again today. Looks like rain could be in the forecast. But no Zay Flowers. Why no Zay? We'll talk about that here on The Fan. No Zay Flowers. Training camp. What was that?
Yeah, Harp said he had itis. You know, campitis, which to me is tendonitis.
General soreness.
Yeah, that type of thing. But the thing that, you know, he's going to be out a couple of days. So I'm guessing that they don't, after today, they don't practice again until Saturday. So maybe, I'm guessing that we probably don't see, we're going to see Zay Bob Monday. That's my guess.
Now, that's the day before the joint practice with the Colts.
Just get him totally healthy. And, you know, he misses, what's today, Thursday? So he missed Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then he comes back. You know, or he's back for, because Sunday's practice at the stadium. Maybe for all the fans, he's back. But he probably needed, you know, a couple days. Other than that, you know, I mean, they had, the guys were out there, but a lot of them just kind of did drills and that was it. Offensively. Pads, defensively, they were all pretty much
pads there. 3 days in a row. What was the scuttlebutt about that one out there yesterday?
Well, I was shocked when I walked out there because I text you. I go, damn, pads again, you know. So, but Andy Reid just did it too. So maybe it's something in, you know, Andy's thing that John learned or, you know, and then John talked about that their conditioning person or whatever thought that they needed heat for 5 days. They needed, you know, and they've got it. They definitely got it. I can tell you that. So that was what they wanted to help them get in shape and stuff. But, I mean, I think it affected most was the old lineman. Because I didn't
think. In a positive or negative?
Negative. Way. The heat. You know, all those days in a row. Because, I mean, Bob, those are pretty much your biggest guys on your team. And have pads. And you got to hit every play. You know, I think that was tough. Because I think it showed with Rosengarten. He didn't have a good day. Falele didn't have a good day. Ronnie was awesome, you know. But otherwise, the bigger guys, they struggled, I thought, you know. And I saw Falele over there with the, you know, ice towel, you know, on his neck after reps and stuff. So I think he was struggling a bit, but, you know, probably good for him to go through that. But, you know, Bateman, Ronnie Stanley, D-Hop.
Derrick Henry,
Andrews, kind of did their stuff, did some 7-on-7 stuff. But you know, what was funny was, like, then they, towards the end, you know, I guess before the last hour of practice, they did 1-on-1s, and D-Hop jumped in to go against Alexander, you know, and then got my rep, you know, I got a rep in, you know, but Bateman, nah, he didn't even have his helmet.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is football tonight.
Oh,
Hall of Fame game. Chargers against the Lions going in this weekend into Canton, Ohio. Antonio Gates, who was a basketball player at Kent State, who, by the way, made a run to the Sweet 16 the year that Maryland won the national championship back in 2002, and he was a prominent part of it. Eric Allen. Jared Allen. And Sterling Sharp, and Vinny, as you know, if it wasn't for his neck injury in the early 90s, he would have been in the Hall of Fame long ago. Because he was as dominant as any receiver in the late 80s through the early 90s in the National Football League. He was putting up numbers with the magic man, Don Majkowski, there. And really went up when Favre got there.
Yeah. and the West Coast offense with Mike Holmgren, who he had, you know, he became their Jerry Rice, is what he did for the Packers and Holmgren's offense. And he was, all like you said, Bob, but he was big. You know, that was a thick, strong guy that could break tackles, and an awesome dude, too.
So if you're looking to watch football, the Orioles are off today. They're off to Chicago, taking on the Cubs at Wrigley tomorrow afternoon. All day games at Wrigley Field for the Birds taking on Chicago. Andrew Kittredge will say hi to his old teammates now in Chicago. If you're on the phone, hang tight. Trade deadline's coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. Anything we'll get, we'll share with you. So PT, Rashawn, you're next. You want to get in, you can. 410-583-1057. Orioles are still 7 out of the wild card, Nolan, as we wrap up July. Are they back? Not just with the Orioles, but with others. For instance, Shane Bieber's going from Cleveland, hasn't pitched this year, coming off Tommy John surgery. He's going to Toronto Blue Jays. We're looking to supplement a rotation that already has Gausman and Bassett and Berríos, who the Orioles kind of touched up a little bit yesterday. They also, Detroit added Paul Sewald from Cleveland bullpen. There we go. And then lots of syllable Suarez, one from Arizona back to Seattle. Local kid, Tyler Locklear. Yep. Locklear goes from the Mariners to the Diamondbacks, where he's now going to get an opportunity to play every day.
I think that's good for him. And I didn't realize, because I was reading his stats, you know, and I got to call Bobby Gimmel, who's his close to be son-in-law, I think, you know.
The tire man.
Yeah, and it'll be a lot easier to go to Arizona than Seattle.
So trade deadline, as soon as we get news, we share. Nothing to see here with Zay Flowers, which is good news, especially a day after the Isaiah Likely got surgery on his foot. But the timeline still seems to be, if not week one, within the first month. So no long-term absence for a guy that we're all very excited about.
Yeah, Bob, they were talking 6 weeks, so... Basically, you know, he had having surgery today or yesterday. So you're talking 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, you're probably talking week two. Week two,
Cleveland,
probably. Yeah.
Cleveland Browns. By the way, with tonight's Hall of Fame game, and then next week, a week from today, Ravens open against the Colts. Football every weekend until the end of... You know what I mean? Got preseason football. Then college will start. Maryland's less than a month away from their regular season opener. It's on. It's on, everybody. Now the level of excitement for some of the games. I'll check out just to see football. Yeah. You're not going to see Herbert or Jared Goff, I wouldn't assume. But
I wouldn't imagine we'd see any starters.
Heard Trey Lance is getting action.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
that. I mean,
He's
that's a little more intriguing
Chargers,
than your usual.
Right?
Right, yes.
Okay, because I can't keep up with the Trey Lance carousel, for sure. But it is football, and it is on national TV. So as we sit here and still dive in our pool and eat our crabs and do all the summertime stuff, because it's still hot as hell out there, you know, football's it's up on us. Let's go to PT and Towson. PT, what's happening?
Hey, guys. I'm with Nolan on this Kittredge thing. He's a guy and one of the few arms we have that we knew was going to help us, you know, next year. So I'm a little concerned with that. But I think we all should be reminded that the signing bonus for De La Cruz was top 10. You know, those numbers are a little hard to nail down. But top 10, 25 would have been top 10, 24, how much the Cubs gave him. So this could be a big-time talent. And also, I mean, that's how we got Basayo. And Basayo should be among the top three candidates for Rookie of the Year next season, you know?
I hear you. And as Nolan pointed out, Bob Nightingale as well, he is their 17th rated prospect in the Cubs organization. Now, in regards to Palmer, no idea. But the numbers are gaudy in single A. So as Mike Harmon, who we'll talk to later in the show, always says, PT, Orioles got themselves a couple of magic beans here, and we'll see how much they grow.
So it's exciting, but I don't think Elias does his job well if he doesn't trade O'Hearn, Mullins, Morton, and even if they get a big return for
Laureano.
I'm sorry,
Laureanitis. He's a wrestler and a football player.
you think I'd get it by now?
Yeah.
I love his character. I thought he was going to pick that umpire up yesterday because that was a horrible.
He got hosed because two pitches earlier he called the same pitch a ball. with the bases loaded when he rung him up, Vic Carapazzo.
And he screwed O'Neill, my boy, also, but I don't want to get into that right now.
Yeah, get them robot umpires here. And I don't care if they're like the Lost in Space robots. Ball, strike, ball, ball. Just get them in here. Strikes exactly. A strike, ball's a ball.
No, it's I don't know how these guys can look themselves in the mirror, some of these calls. But Elias has got to move these guys. You can sign them in the offseason, but get what you can for these guys, O'Hearn, Mullins, and Morton, because they're worth nothing to, you know, in a sense, they're not going to be back next year anyway. I mean, we've got as good a chance of re-signing them in the offseason, whether we trade them or not. So Elias has got to make his, he's got to do a good job in the next 6-7 hours and get something, whatever it is, get something back for those three or four guys.
All right, PT, I feel you, and I understand your angst with Mike Elias. We were talking yesterday, Vinny, and before we get back to the phones, Nolan, we were saying, oh, the tradable guys, and we knew Kittredge was on the table. Maybe everybody was on the table except for the core dudes. But if we're sitting here tomorrow at 10:41 and Zach Eplin's still an Oriole or Cedric Mullins is still an Oriole, which one would stun you the most?
I would say Mullins. Mullins would stun me if he's still here because, you know, he's been playing pretty good as of late, and teams, you hear his name a lot out there. So I think that would, and you mentioned Cincinnati, you know, and I saw Philly, Mets. The Mets, you know, so that would, because who doesn't want a center fielder that plays great in the outfield and stuff, and now he's starting to hit a little
bit. Got some pop, got some wheels. What do you think, Nolan?
Yeah, if it's not him, it's O'Hearn or it's Morton, one of those three. I mean, all three of them have to go, in my opinion. If any one of those three is still here tomorrow, it'd be extremely stunning. And if you're trying to pick one of the three, maybe it might end up being Morton just because of the demand for pitching. You know, with how strong that is, if you couldn't move him with the past 2 months that he's had, be shocking.
Now, the one guy that stays, and I won't be mad, and like Morton, Sagano, I've got no real connection to those guys. They're one-year deal guys, and I wouldn't mind keeping Eplin. They don't trade him. You tender him and see what goes on from there. Mullins, it appears, and O'Hearn are good as gone, but if Laureano's still on Oriole tomorrow, I'm not mad at that at all.
Right. Yeah, I mean, put him sort of like in the Kittredge camp, that if he ends up staying and they truly view him as a piece that's really going to help next year, I'm not going to argue against that at all.
The only thing I would say, Bob, is you can only get so many players. You know, you got a lot of holes, you know, and
right.
How are you going to fix them all?
At what point in the Elias era has he shown the ability to acquire more than two or three notable free agents in an offseason? You're going to need at least four in the bullpen right now. And that doesn't include center field, maybe right field, and two starting pitchers.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested to see what are you going to. Now, he could still trade a Mountcastle or a Kerstad or a Mayo, for instance, in the offseason to bring in controllable players, which he seems to be fond of. But how are you going to. Ruben Stein wants to win. He's made it perfectly clear, and I like the fact that he's kind of taking a back seat to everything, but by all accounts, from people that cover the team on a daily basis, hey, you can spend money. We're not going nutty like the Dodgers. Hey, you get $100 million, you get $100. We're not doing that, but they're ready to rock and roll. Is he capable of spending that money? Say you get $100 million and you go out and buy a $99 million car. You got $1 million left. How are you going to allocate your resources? If you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. If you're on the phones, we'll get to you next. We got Tony Pente, OrielsHangout.com. In the trades, the Orioles have gotten three prospects from each team in the top 20, and in one case, in Toronto, in the top 10. What does this all mean in the big picture here? Nolan just chirped into my ear. And, you know, I might be blind in one eye. My ear's good. I got 20/20 hearing. What the hell's going on over here with Ken Rosenthal?
I gave you the tidbit here with a confused voice because I'm struggling to find concrete information here. But Ken Rosenthal is saying that Zach Eflin's going to the IL. With that in mind, still possible that he gets dealt before today's deadline. Hasn't been announced by the Orioles or anyone else, really. But that's out within the last 10 minutes. So keep an eye on that.
Ken Rosenthal used to cover the Orioles for the Baltimore Sun, now with the Athletic, Fox Sports. Eplin to the IL, which would be, by the way, the third time this season.
Wow.
And he didn't look all that great in his last outing. I mean, didn't Mullins save a home run in that game, too?
Yeah. Otherwise, it's 6-6.
Yeah. So, okay. And I guess the Orioles aren't going to announce anything because you got to trade. Hey, we'll trade you Eplin. He won't be pitching for the rest of the season. But what are you going to give us?
Right. Full quote here from Rosenthal, because it's all we have. Orioles right-hander Zach Eplin going on the injured list, according to sources briefed on the matter. It is still, quote, very possible he will be traded, one source said. Eflin's injury is not arm-related, and he's expected to be back during the regular season.
Okay. Well, back was the last one. He had back soreness, and then he just came back, no pun intended, from that one. And no pun intended again, a little curveball here. As we talk about Eplin being on the move, now, if there's still a chance, I'm guessing the chances have dwindled from 100% to maybe 50-50, if not lower than that.
And if you're trading, how does he pass a physical? You know, and then the other, if you're taking an injured guy who's going to be back later, you're not getting nothing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, though, if somebody still jumps on it just because it would be so cheap. You know, it would essentially be a flyer of a move. You wouldn't have to give up anything. You know, if you were a team that really needed pitching, that can't be your only move. But if that's a throw-in additional move that you go get a legit starter somewhere else and then, you know, oh, we'll go get take a flyer on Eplin as well. If I was a GM, I wouldn't be totally shying away from it.
Yeah, he'd be joining you, what, if Ken says it's true, he goes on the IL mid-August. Mm-hmm. That helps you final 6 weeks of the season. So anyway, Astros, John Heyman, Alcantara, Cease. And looking for another left-handed bat. This just a couple of minutes ago, Ryan O'Hearn hits left-handed, right?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Just trying to connect some dots here. Matt's still looking at Luis Robert Jr. and Cedric Mullins as possible options for their center field thing. But Eplin on the IL, according to Ken Rosenthal. Interesting news here on trade deadline day. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, thanks for holding. What's up, dude?
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
All right.
Hey, man, with this trade stuff, man, I think Elias is making trades for the hell of making trades now. Like, he's going mad. He's losing his mind. Like like the guy Hyman Roth in The Godfather, man. You know, I don't know what's going on with him, man. First, it was the Bron Baker trade. You trade a guy with team control that's not a free agent to 2029. I don't know how that was all about. I mean, it was right after he blew that game, though. That was the Mets game, I believe, he blew, right?
Yeah.
Around that town.
And he's had a couple of rough outings for the Rays since then, by the way.
Yeah, he wasn't the
worst. And the Orioles did get, you know, a little slack, who was headed to, Vanderbilt, and Baltimore actually overslotted him pay-wise. So that, I mean, we don't know what this guy's going to turn out to be, but he could turn out to be an all-star where Brian Baker, I mean, you got a lot of mileage out of a guy who was kind of a scrap heap dude 3 years ago.
Yeah, he was very cheap, though. Brian Baker was he made $700,000, you know, in
Rashawn,
baseball terms. That's pennies,
weren't the Orioles in last place when they traded Brian Baker?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they were still in last place?
But wouldn't you rather have Brian Baker in there yesterday? He wouldn't gave up five runs like Cano did.
Well, you know.
And we would have been on a six-game winning streak.
It's a wash. It could have been a seven-game because the last two games Kramer's pitched, they had 4-0, 3-0 lead, and they wound up lost both of them. No, I'm not mad at any of this at all. Now, they trade Jordan Westberg. I'm going to be running hot. But I don't see that happening, if you dig where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Right. But and then as far as the Ramon Urias thing, man, you know, another guy, I can see if he was going to be a free agent after this year. We had, you know, another guy under team control for next year. Utility guy, former Gold Glover, can play any position. And with the health issues that Westberg's been having, you know, say next year Westberg get hurt. You know, you're going to wish you had a guy like Ramon Urias in there. And also the morning show, when I called in, they was all like, well, you can get another utility guy. Like, they act like it's just utility players out there that's former Gold Glovers that can – they're not that Ramon don't even play every day. And then when he do play, he produces though. So they act like he was some scrub, you know. Then we trade him for some Twan Pier guy. I don't know how to pronounce this guy, man. Is he a pitcher from Merville or something? Yeah. I don't know, man.
Your kind of name is Twine, by the way. But I sense, Rashawn, your frustration, man, and I appreciate it because we're coming up on the top of the hour. But they're in last place. with all of these guys. Now, we'll talk to Tony Pantee about this because he covers the Orioles minor league system. Is there an Arias sort of dude that could come up? Like Connor Norby could have been that guy, but now he's in Miami, and unfortunately, he's got that hammock bone thing. It's got him on the shelf for the Marlins, but is there someone, and I'm not trying to dismiss Ramon Arias, who had a lot more pop than his little body would indicate.
You already know where this is going.
Yeah.
Jorge Mateo.
Oh.
Another year of that.
Okay.
That's where we're going.
Look, if Mateo could stay healthy now, and if Mateo hit 250 and got on base 32% of the time, he'd lead the American League in steals. Unfortunately, he doesn't do any of those things.
Captain if.
Captain.
Don't put him in center field either, Nolan.
No doubt about that. It's Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, get Tony Pettine from OrielsHangout.com's thoughts on the trades. And where is the next utility dude? And Braxton Bragg, the guy that had come out of nowhere to be one of their top prospects. He had Tommy John surgery, a certain setback as he misses the rest of this season. And who knows how much of 2026. Whip around 11:15. Glorious day in Baltimore baseball history happened in 1983. Stick around to find out what that is. And then Mike Bordick. I don't know if he's running hot or not, but Bordy will let you know at 11:30 what he thinks of the trade deadline, because Mike Bordick speaks from experience. He got traded at the trade deadline.